You're listening to
The Lost Initiative. This is Kimberly in Toronto.
And Amy in Oklahoma.
Yes, we're here to discuss season 6, episode, was it 16 and 17?
17, 18?
Whatever, the end.
Yeah.
The very, very the end of
the
Lost.
The series finale. The
Potential Cast, Season 4, Episode 7, The Initiative. Buffy begins a relationship with Riley Finn, unaware that he is part of a military organization tracking down and experimenting on the demons and vampires of Sunnydale.
Of course.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Batman.
I can't believe nobody's done that yet. I'm Matt, by the way.
Matt, hello, welcome.
Now, what part of Canada are you in?
I'm in New Brunswick.
Not stupid old Brunswick.
No.
I hate that one.
We did away with them in the 80s.
New Brunswick, that sounds very cold.
Yeah.
Have you not heard of the Bay of Fundy?
Highest tides in the world.
Highest tides in the world, baby, yeah!
What does that mean?
Highest tides, from high tide to low tide, is about, what, 40 feet?
Yeah.
Ocean tides. Do you go surfing?
No. It's too cold.
Not in the winter, the deep cold.
Yeah. Even in the summer, the water's cold.
Yeah, it's
so
still,
you're on the west coast?
Nope.
No, the east.
East coast.
You're somewhere above Maine, aren't you?
Right above Maine.
You're like Maine's Took.
Yes, we are connected.
Okay. So I'm the lone American.
We're like the brain parasite on top of Maine.
The brain parasite? Nice.
Sucking Maine's soul out.
The vestigial twin?
Yes.
Vestigial twin. Matt is from the Twin Peaks podcast.
Yes, indeed.
Well, the former twins. You guys are finished already?
No, we're not done. We got stuff we can do.
Yeah, but you already finished the series.
There's a movie, yeah. We finished reviewing the series. It's only 30 episodes.
Yeah.
People were congratulating us. Yes.
Depending on how you count.
People were congratulating us for being the first intro cast to finish their series. I'm like...
That's not fair.
We had an advantage.
Yeah, but you did finish. That's an accomplishment. Because it's really hard to stick to something like this.
I know. Mm-hmm. I don't envy you guys with your 7 seasons.
I'm sorry. How many seasons? Right? What? What? I need to look over my contract. Was I the only one who signed a contract?
Yes.
I'm so naive. So...
Feedback?
Right away? General impressions first, please.
Okay.
Oh my god, this episode had everything!
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of explanation, which was good because there are a couple of episodes where it's just truly like, when are we going to start going?
And I'm glad that it happened. I think there's a hatch.
Yes, there is a hatch.
There are two hatches. There's a closet hatch and some kind of electrical box hatch.
It's amazing. Has anyone watched Alcatraz at all?
Mm-mm. I saw the pilot at Comic-Con and was not impressed, and therefore I'm not watching.
They retooled it since then.
They have?
Mm-hmm.
Is what's his name still in it, Sam Neill?
Yes.
Yes.
I will continue to not watch. Oh. He has those crazy eyes.
When they had all the... When they had all the demons in the cages, I was like, oh, that looks like a show I just watched 2 days ago. So,
Illyrio, does he still have those crazy eyes from Event Horizon at the end? Is that what you're talking about?
No. It's every movie I've ever seen him in, he does the same look on his face with the big wide eyes, the big crazy eye look. And there's something about his eyebrows I just don't like.
Yeah. It's his thing.
Yes. Or things.
But I like this episode a lot. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I'm just like, finally. are getting into gear.
Yeah, yeah, it did have that kind of, okay, we're finally hitting a stride.
Mm-hmm. Did any of this come out of left field for you guys, or did you kind of see it coming a bit?
No. After the first 2 minutes, when I saw Riley had some friends, I was like, "Oh, those guys! I bet you are the army guys."
Yeah, it took me a little while longer to clue into them being G.I. Joe, but it definitely had some stuff in it that I kind of saw. All the really cool stuff wasn't really plot stuff. It was more character development stuff, and that's the stuff that for me really, 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 really got me going. Yeah.
Like Willow and Spike.
That whole thing started off as, oh my god! This is being filmed exactly like a rape scene!
Yeah.
This is awful! And all of a sudden they cut back and the performance anxiety angle was amazing!
I loved it.
That angle was terrific, and all of the cheesy... I didn't mind the cheesy...
was it me? Is it my fault?
Yeah, like all of those tropes of...
Maybe we'll wait 30 minutes.
I like how long it takes her to realize that she's being ridiculous. And she needs to get out of there.
Well, you know, she's not herself.
Right, and she needed a little ego boost.
She did. Mm-hmm. She did, and she got it from Spike.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he likes her pink fuzzy sweater.
Hey man, Spike and I have bonded now.
Uh-huh.
I like the pink fuzzy thing.
Loved it.
Yeah, when I think about scenes that stand out from the whole series, that moment really is something special.
Yeah, I still remember the first time I watched it, I was totally convinced that she was dead.
Yeah, I was so scared for Willow, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the episode before that, they got rid of Oz, so why wouldn't they get rid of another main character? Yeah.
I was actually kind of disappointed when they came back and she was still alive. I mean, I love Willow, but I love a show more when it is not afraid to kill off characters and nobody is safe and the stakes are really high. Plus, I wanted to see Vamp Willow again.
Yeah, sure. I actually watched the opening credits this time and I was like, oh, how nice. James Marsden, is this his first episode where he's joined the... He's part of the main cast?
No, the one where he found that ring the first time he was there with Harmony, I think he was. No?
Was he? Wasn't this the first time?
I have no idea.
James Masters. Well, I noticed that he was in the opening credits and Oz wasn't.
Let's start some feedback. Matt, I think you have an email there from someone who's conveniently named.
Conveniently named.
Hmm.
Okay. This one's from Tom Palmer.
I just got it.
Hello. Just wanted to talk about episode 7 of season 4 of The Initiative. I hope you all watch the opening credits to note that James Marsters as Spike has now officially joined the main cast.
Here we go.
About time.
I didn't read these before.
Would love to hear your predictions about what his role in the series will be. Also, that chip prevents Spike from hurting people. I think we got it. I advise not to think too hard about that. Treat it like sunlight and vampires as one of those things that will only be an issue when convenient. That's true.
So there was some discussion on the Facebook group about the fact that, you know, if he has this chip that doesn't let him, quote-unquote, hurt anybody, I will be able to... Yeah. Put up a fight and actually get out of there.
I'm pretty sure he punched one guy.
Yes. SOD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the rules after that scene are much more strict on the chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Maybe it wasn't activated yet.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. That maybe they activated it later and that would totally explain it.
Yeah, maybe it tripped when he left. Mm-hmm. Left his set. I don't know. SOD.
Yeah.
SOD, please. Like, I don't want to, like... Oh, no, and I won't say anything. Never mind. Go on.
I'm going to read an email from Missy. Hey, Gax, it's been a while since I emailed in, but parts of the initiative necessitate this particular email. The secret of the initiative is explained. Professor Walsh is a bad guy, winky face, or at the very least the leader of a shady government operation. Then there's Forrest, Graham, and Riley as her top three soldiers slash agents. And the fact that the entire facility is housed under the UC Sunnydale campus. Bam! Who saw that coming? LOL. Spike, a.k.a. Hostile 17, manages to escape with the intentions of finding Buffy and killing her. But as bad luck would have it, Willow's the only one home at the moment. After a chilling attempted murder, we learn poor Spikey can't bite or hurt Willow and that he quite fancied her back in Lover's Walk, one of my favorite callbacks. I have major problems with the initiative storyline, but in the context of the show, the fact Riley and company have issues keeping Spike, Willow, and Buffy under control in this episode makes you wonder how much training was involved. They appear to be completely useless. Riley and Buffy try to Clark Kent their way through one of the most awkward scenes ever. Xander and Harmony have the silliest fight in the history of fights. It had hair pulling, slapping, and slow-mo. Makes me giggle every single time. It's absolutely priceless. I can't help but smile when Riley punches Parker. So, who thought Riley and Willow might be an item by the time this episode ended? Psych! It's still Riot Buff because they're both peculiar. From Missy, a.k.a. Simone, a.k.a. Aussie Bratters.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, you know, about to watch this episode, I was not looking forward to it because of the title.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
And, why?
But just the initiative. And but it is such a fun episode. I mean, it just snaps. It's so energetic.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So how old is Riley?
15.
That he's seriously crushing on this freshman in college.
I would say
he's just a couple of years older.
I was right? going to
no
say.
No way.
By his haircut, he looks 15. That's what I had. When I was 15, I had that haircut. Most of these people.
If he's in this military organization and he's commanding it, he must be a bit older than that. Mm. But then again, SOD.
Yeah.
SOD.
I don't think it's so much how old you are that you crush, that determines how hard you crush. I think it's the cheesiness of the music that plays in the background as you realize that you're infatuated with
someone. How terrible is that? Mm.
It was the worst.
I hate musical cues like that.
It was the worst. Uh-huh. And it wasn't even ironic. Like, maybe they tried to make it ironic, but
yeah.
It didn't. It
not
didn't
like
come
when Cordelia and Xander kissed for
the
first time.
Yeah, that was
time.
Awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah. And the music that played during that epic fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that at least 3 times in a row. It was so funny.
Yes.
And Harmony on her face, it looks like she's about to bust out in laughter in the slow motion scene. Like, they must have had so much fun doing that.
Does anyone wonder why she's the only vampire we've ever seen that doesn't get inherent martial arts training?
I think, you know, being a vampire accentuates what you were before you became a vampire, so there.
Well, she's only, what, a year old in vampire years?
No, you add the previous years, but you're right. She's still very green.
Mm-hmm.
Bob DeGrand sent us an email. Hi, Gax and Guest. Or right now it's just Sack and Guest. I was a guest on Hellmouth Podcast for this episode, and it was one of my favorites. Not only does it advance the plot, but it has a few of my favorite scenes of the entire series. The first is Spike's amazing James Bond escape from the initiative. The writers were worried about Spike looking heroic, and Joss told them that he would look heroic and to deal with it. The second was my favorite fight scene ever, Xander and Harmony, talking trash, then slapping and kicking, then when it can't get any sillier, breaking into slow motion. Have I mentioned how much I love Harmony? The initial reveal of the initiative, which looked like a big-budget movie, was amazing. The set was an actual government building with Riley and the evil bitch monster of death being involved. Finally, the Spike Willow can't bite her, can't get it up metaphor scene is amazing, with Spike going from menacing to depressed to comforting Willow to being annoyed at being patronized, and Willow from terrified to comforting Spike to her self-loathing kicking in when she thought she was his second choice to her realizing that she should escape. Thank you, Bob.
So good.
What's next?
We have Rachel Hughes.
I'll read that one. Rachel writes, two guys get the initiative to go see a girl in hijinks ensue.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you. I get a bit excited whenever you guys reach episode 7 because it's the game changer in each season, so woohoo. Okay. Really? After last week's tearjerker, it was a huge relief to have a mix of slapstick, action, rom-com, The Prisoner, James Bond, sci-fi, and of course, Spike. Even Riley was rather interesting, but that was mostly due to his scenes with Willow. And speaking of Willow, how much did she rock in this episode? Willow and Riley have way more chemistry than Buffy and Riley. Amen.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Willow and Spike have serious chemistry, but they could have chemistry with a fire hydrant. Only those two actors could make me not hate that scene with the rape metaphor. And see, even Spike...
Sorry. That's not funny. Go on.
And see, even Spike does the same girl pointy finger fangs that Cordy does. It's the universal pantomime for vampire. And how about that epic fight? No, not the one in the foggy dorm hallway, although Tiny Buffy beating up Beefy Commandos was pretty awesome. I'm referring to the spectacular Zarmony slow-mo slap fight showdown. Say that 3 times fast. How does Harmony style her hair like that without a mirror, huh? Justificationer.
Just I love kidding. It. New segment.
It's not really an SOD for me. I'm just envious that I can't do something as intricate as that, and I have a reflection. So if I cared about SOD, I wouldn't be able to laugh when the commandos who are armed with thermographic cameras, trank guns, tasers, and other high-tech gear simply can't use plastic restraints to contain Hostile 17. I mean, come on, I could probably break out of plastic restraints. It's quite hilarious, actually. So, Gak, excellent predictions. Keep them coming. And Illyrio, did the clandestine commando operation disappoint you, or are you even more intrigued? Looking forward to hearing your reactions and thoughts, particularly about Spike with his mysterious implant. Didn't expect that. Now, did you? Love your Rachel.
I'm going to say I'm right now disappointed that it seems like it's not someone building a secret army of evil creatures. And it's just this kind of... Secret Force trying to subdue them. Now, maybe I'm not wrong. Maybe they are trying to develop a secret army, but to control them, to do their bidding, they put these chips in. Maybe. We shall wait and see. The fact that she's a psychology professor lends to the whole, brain tampering.
Do you guys have... go ahead.
I was going to say, if she's in charge of collecting all these demons and blah, 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 why would she throw her briefcase at Oz during the little fight scene he had only 2 episodes ago?
I don't think she has to confront them herself very much.
No, but like, she even referred to them as 2 wild dogs. And I was like, don't you know what a werewolf looks like?
Well, maybe she doesn't realize that other people are aware of these kinds of creatures and she doesn't want to blow her cover.
Mm-hmm.
But no one else was there.
But referring to them as werewolves would make people that aren't aware of werewolves really suspicious.
Do you guys have any predictions on what's to come of this spike in his chip?
I'm afraid
I have no idea
that they're gonna turn him into a non-threatening member of the cast, and he's gonna turn good guy. I think this would probably lead to boredom.
Really? I think he'll be still evil in this, like, an evil guy. I don't think he's going to turn good.
I think he's going to join the Scoobies, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, like the enemy is my friend.
I suppose.
In a way. Like, he won't join them. He'll be like, those guys did this to me, let's get them.
Yeah, I'm just worried. I'm worried because I think it's going to take away from how awesome he is if they have.
I don't know. Maybe he'll find it and then just take it out himself.
He's not a brain surgeon. Come on now.
But he is a vampire and can't die.
Yeah,
maybe Harmony will take it out.
Yes, let's not use any wooden scalpels. Sorry. I have plenty of lame jokes today. Did we let you finish Rachel's email?
Yes, I'm done.
Thank goodness. I was mortified that I'd cut you off.
Mm-mm.
Kim, do you want to read Sam Wood's email?
Sure. All right. Hi, Gax and guests, longtime stalker, but only second time emailer. I think I was the one who emailed you back when you were watching season 2 and asked for no Lost spoilers, please. The more I hear about that show, however, the less I care about being spoiled on it. Anyway, back to Buffy. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this episode and whether you saw the reveal of Riley and his initiative agent and Waltz as his boss coming, or was it a surprise? Some observations. Maybe Buffy is Canadian. Surely, this explains everything.
I want to take a pause here for a second. Pause. Steph?
Yes?
As the lonely American on today's recording.
Mm-hmm.
You guys really find those jokes funny? Feel free to generalize as I am.
I found it funny.
Ew!
I found it funny because it's always like the go-to joke.
Oh, it's awful. I hate those. Canadian. I hate that.
I was just trying to find... I was trying to think, is it an inside joke? Ugh. What could it have meant?
Ugh. Those always bother me. But yeah. You know.
Getcha.
I hate everything. No, wait, that's you.
That's me.
Sorry, I'm stealing your thing. Sorry, Kim.
All right.
Proceed.
Buffy likes cheese.
So do I.
Of course, Harmony has a unicorn poster.
So do I.
Nipple watch. Did you see Riley's nipples through his green t-shirt when trying to escort Buffy away from the bench? No, yes. I didn't, but thank you.
I did.
Riley is a Teutonic sexist douche with floppy hair.
What? Am I the only one who's not aware of the cultural significance of the term Teutonic?
Yeah, what does it mean?
This is the first time I've ever heard anyone being referred to as Teutonic was in this episode.
Maybe, like...
Does it mean like,
I don't know,
two minds, like dual personality?
It's T-E-U, apparently.
He said it after he says, oh, I think girls need to be saved or something. Guys need to do this and girls need to be saved. And Buffy's like, you are Teutonic. I was like, okay, whatever.
Did you already look it up?
Yeah, I'm
Teutonic
looking
it up. Knights?
Well, it may refer to the Teutons, the Germanic peoples.
Maybe it just means he's a barbarian.
Yes, it could be barbaric. Teutonic is a synonym for barbaric, but it's actually not so barbarian as well. There are Teutonic knights. That's a picture. Yeah, I suppose. Oh well, he comes from the Black Forest and has a cuckoo clock. All Let's right. carry on.
He's Teutonic. The impotency. I can't even say.
It's a very very difficult word for many of us to say.
I know, I can't say it.
Just say ED.
Impotency metaphor, yeah, between Willow and Spike went a little too far for me. Plus, we got two great fight scenes in this episode, one for its ridiculousness, Zarmony, and the other for its pretty good choreography with Buffy against the Initiative guys, with, I think, not even one stuffy sighting. I
really?
Saw Stuffy.
You
Thanks,
saw Stuffy?
And keep up the good work, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
I saw Stuffy.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a fight scene in the dark... You know that's when Stuffy's gonna make an appearance.
I know this is the Buffy podcast, but I find the fight scenes in Angel way better than the fight scenes in Buffy, especially later on in Angel. You guys aren't there yet, but season 4 and 5, really good choreography and fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You agree, Steph?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Feedback from two Ians. Ian Swallow. Hi, Gax. I hope I spelt that right. Oh, that's awesome. Kimberly, you're now going to be called Zimberly. Because he spelled it G-A-X-S. I love
Girl,
it.
For
those
it.
Of you that are new to the podcast, Gax refers to Gabby, Illyrio, Kimberly, and Steph. I love it. Gax with an X. New listener, Ian from the UK, here with my second bit of feedback, which you're reading first as I sent my first thing in last week with feedback for your next episode, as I didn't know how far ahead you were. Okay. I have a nosebleed. Lost reference. Okay. Confusing, I know. as I explain how I found your show and what I make of you guys in that minor spoiler here, I like you. I'll just skip straight to my thoughts on the initiative. For some reason, I've decided to bullet point my thoughts in the order that they happened. Clumsy Buffy is an interesting take. I suppose it's how Riley sees her and is an extension of poor driver Buffy. Mm-hmm. I might be stretching here, but is it also a Superman parallel where she isn't fully aware of her own strength and overcompensates to hide it? I hadn't thought of that. Who watched the opening credits this week? And was it a nice surprise for you to see James Marsters or Spike in there for the first time? I guess I'm just not observant. I think with the years of watching Lost, I've just gotten used to not looking at the
opening credits.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys watch?
Spoiler alert!
Don't look at the credits if you're watching Lost, because it'll tell you, you know, like guest actors and actresses and such. Yes, Matt.
Do you watch the credits every time, or you usually skip them?
I don't skip them. I'm usually getting a snack.
Oh, okay. Well,
usually skip them, but for whatever reason, I watch them this time.
Hmm. Well, there's a few that are important.
Sure. So Riley's growing attraction to Buffy throughout this episode, for the most part, felt rather bland to me and a little too reminiscent of a certain other teen drama on at the time that shall only be called Corson's Dreek. Although we find out here that he is one of the soldier guys, does make him more interesting. Whilst Willow is still grieving, she is also fiercely protective of Buffy, and the strength she shows here really highlights how she's changed since the first season, I think. Then there's the epic Xander Harmony fight, in slow-mo no less. It just works so well, what with the hair pulling and everything. I wonder, though, was it choreographed, and if so, by whom? Maggie
Who
Walsh.
That would be awesome.
Probably just said, do a girl fight action.
That's horribly sexist. As someone who naturally, quote unquote, fought like a girl, I think it's incredibly sexist. Just have an Illyrio fight. Everyone, let's start a movement. Just call them Illyrio fights. I'll be okay with it.
It's probably choreographed by the nearest 5-year-old.
Yeah.
He plucked them off the school ground.
Okay, watch these kids. So they went all method and went to a schoolyard. Maggie Walsh. Now, although some of you guessed she was part of the soldier unit, did any of you think that she would decide to have two different hairstyles? Teaching hair and secret scientist hair. I don't know. Maybe she did it so Riley knew who he was talking to. I didn't notice that, but now that you mention it, that's awesome. Then we come to Spike and his performance issue, an interesting twist that throws up lots of interesting opportunities. Looking forward to what you guys make of it. So those are my points. I'll end with a question. What do you think this secret soldier unit is up to? Thanks again for a great show. I hope you like the feedback I sent you for next week. And bye for now, Ian in the UK. P.S. It might sound like I don't like Riley here, but I do... Excuse me. It might sound like I don't like Riley here. I do, but it's just that in this episode, he just comes across a bit bland. Holy bland meister. I think I'm talking to you from the
90s. I'm glad that he is one of the soldiers, because that actually gives him a bit of intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he went to go see Willow... Mm-hmm. And ask him about Buffy and what her likes are and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm not usually like this when I'm courting a girl. I'm like, who the hell says that?
Yeah. That was weird.
People from Iowa.
I guess so.
Mm. Yeah, I wrote that too. It was like, who uses the word? Did he
and
really
speaking
the word
with his friends, realizing that he loves Buffy? Ugh. That scene was just ridiculous.
Redonkulous.
And you talk with your buddies like that, Illyrio? Dude, I can see you're in love with her. You're totally in love with her, dude.
I don't really have buddies anymore because I'm not like in school and stuff. but no, I don't speak to anyone like that. No. We have a couple more emails, then we're going to get into a brief mentioning of some of the wonderful posts on the Facebook group. And then we have a couple of audio thingies to play for you guys. So Heidi Jenkins' email will be read by Steph.
Oh, I was on Ian Jacobs. Heidi Jenkins. Hey Gex, Willow is so adorable in this episode. Buffy gets dumped and is just so whiny, Willow becomes even cuter. I love the scene with her and Spike. It's awesome fun, and her giving Riley advice is nice too. She's down, but she's still looking after Buffy. Lastly, the Xander and Harmony slap fight is one of my favorite things ever. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this one, Heidi, sent from my iPhone.
I hope you like the iPhone, Heidi. I love my iPhone.
I love my iPhone.
I love my answering machine. It keeps the people I know away from me. All right. I'll try to dig that up and from my iTunes library and play it at the end of the show in its entirety. Ian Jacobs. Hey, Gax Plus One. I've been wanting to write in for a while, but I couldn't really figure out how practically to do it. You see, I discovered your podcast late in the game, and that has had some strange effects. Although I am ahead of you in my latest rewatch, I just finished season 4 last week, I am far behind you in your podcast. Just listened to the wrap-up episode for season 2 yesterday. So we were never really on the same timeline. Well, I finally caught one of Illyrio and the Mighty Facebook's post about what episode you were recording before you recorded it and decided to write in. Of course, that means I may not hear your podcast for this episode for months yet, but I refuse to skip ahead because I so enjoy hearing your opinions from, excuse me, your opinions form, shift, and mutate organically. Skipping ahead would be akin to Kim watching a full season ahead. A big no-no, in other words. Anyway, I thought I should write in about the episode The Initiative for a few reasons. Although The Initiative, the concept, not the episode, can be fairly divisive amongst Buffy fans, the plot arc does give rise to some hysterical scenes. This episode contains one, and it may be my favorite scene in all 7 seasons of Buffy. I am, of course, referring to Spike and Willow in her dorm room. Season 4 is when Willow went from cutesy adorable to major crush object for me. It helps that this is also the season where she stops wearing overalls. But this scene is, I think, what clinched it for me. Willow is lovely while still totally adorkable. Hold on, I'm having twitching happening. Okay. And her comic timing so perfect in that scene that I was forevermore smitten. I won't quote the scene since I am certain some of you will use the lines from it for your own quotes. Suffice it to say that I could use the dialogue from the entire scene as my quote of the week. This episode is also the only time we get to hear Oz's full name. This is true. This is very true.
Daniel.
Hearing it sort of reminds me of Wash from Firefly Serenity. The nickname is... Hearing it sort of reminds me of Wash from Firefly Serenity. The nickname is, for all intents and purposes, their name, and their real name just sounds odd and fake.
Uh-huh.
Finally, I also like this episode because in a bout of absurd levels of continuity, this episode also has a throwaway Spike line that pays off in unexpected ways far, far, far down the road. So far that you'll likely not even remember it when you see it, and it also calls back to your noticing all of the Nazi references early in the series. Ah well, viva la Whedonverse. Cheers from a huge fan in San Francisco. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Ian.
Okay, so Ian in San Francisco and Ian in England.
The UK. He might be in Scotland or Wales.
The UK. Okay.
We have something that I believe Beth sent to you, Steph, correct?
Oh, yes.
So let's listen to this.
What's wrong with your guy? Riley, I hope he's not some sort of demon or vampire, because that would just be ridiculous.
I want him to go away, because I don't like him.
Why don't you like him?
There's just something about him, besides the fact that he's a terrible actor, and I don't find him attractive in the least bit. I don't know. There's just something. I don't know. Wait a minute. I might have to throw something out there, because I threw out that Parker was a douchebag, and I was right.
Yes.
I don't know. There's just something a little too goody two shoes about that guy.
Yes.
And the crappy acting that I just can't.
It's something to do with him and the teacher, the professor.
Hmm.
Gasp.
Gasp.
That's
indeed.
Awesome. Thank you, Beth.
Excuse me. Oh.
Interesting.
And we have feedback from, who's this? Debbie. Here we go.
Hi, Axe, and special guest.
It's Sack.
This is Gabby, the girl that puts the G in Gax. Anyway, I've been loving listening to the episodes. that I have not been on, unfortunately, and I hope to be back soon. But until then, I figured I would still go ahead and watch along, play along, as it were. And I have a few things to say about the initiative. The first thing about the initiative I'd like to say is I never thought I would fall in love again, but I have with this freaking episode. It is right up there with the pack.
Oh my
God. It is right up there with band candy. It is phenomenal. I mean, what is there not to love about this episode? I mean, you had Spike! Squeak! You had, oh my gosh, well, another Nazi reference popped up. We learned that Oz's first name is Daniel. He's Daniel Osborne. Parker Abrams is still a douche, you know, so not much has changed. But I think the most important thing, well, besides Harmony being back and Spike clearly being on Team Caffeine, is holy shit, Riley? Riley is a fucking badass demon slayer hunter guy. He is not a complete doofus. Like, for reals. And I totally didn't see that coming. And that was crazeballs. Anywho. Oh, wait a minute. The best thing ever. The scene with Willow and Spike. And Spike couldn't eject his freaking fangs, and then Willow's all, oh, well, I don't want to take somebody's quote, so I'll stop right there. But anyway, this was amazing, and I hearted it, and I'm giving it 10 out of 10 sassy Cabernets. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Amazing.
Gabby.
Amazing. Who knew that
Thanks,
you could
Gabby.
Who knew that you could record voice memos from prison? Starting rumors.
Illyrio, speaking what? Of Parker, she brought him up. Yes. Do you think he's been punched out of the show?
One can only hope. But I doubt it. Every fairy tale needs a good villain. If I go to the Facebook group, Carol says that she really enjoyed this episode, and certain episodes in the run of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that are packed with information and pivotal points. I heard the noise I didn't like. Someone gone? Someone's nope. gone. Kim's oh, Kim. Gone.
Kim? Zimberly is gone.
Zimberly. Come back, Zimberly. Come back. Zimberly, are you there?
Hello?
Zimberly, you're back.
I'm back.
Thank goodness.
It was really cutting out.
Okay, no worries.
Barely heard Debbie's call.
Oh, there are certain episodes in the run of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that are packed with information and pivotal points. This is one of them. So many questions are answered, some of which you weren't even asking. Plus, there's lots of funny. Another mention to the opening credits. Steph, you shouldn't keep away from the commentary.
Talking about the commentaries.
Simone mentioning her email. Jimmy says, I'm still curious. If he can't even hurt anybody, as they say in this episode, how did he fight his way out? And then there's a
SOD,
debate.
Man.
And there's a debate. And then we're talking about that debate. Bratters says, Spike, he is back in full swing in this episode. But no way can you talk about this episode without mentioning the Giles and Xander banter. They work so well together, but the best scene in this episode by far is Xandarmody fighting. The most epic fight in the series so far, as the music tells us. I can die happy now. I know Harmony and Xander fight ended in a draw. Richie says, I am a Harmander shipper. The greatest fight in history, says Robert Rodriguez. Carol didn't want to belabor the point, but then goes on forever talking about, I love the play-by-play and the analysis. I love you guys so much. I love the fact that you're taking the time to actually look at continuity, because continuity mistakes and stuff like that really bother me. You know, you mm-hmm. cut from one person to another person in a scene, and the cigarette is now twice as long as it was in the previous cut. So good on you, Carol, for checking that.
That bothers me in other shows, but mm-hmm. I've learned to accept it in Buffy.
You have. Fair Medina, also known as Latina Bratters, says, epic Xandarmody fight, and Spike is back. Val asks if our Canadian co-hosts laugh at the Canadian line from Graham. I did not laugh. Kim did. Matt, did you find it
I
funny?
Did.
What was the exact line?
What is she, Canadian?
Maybe that explains it.
Because they were talking about how peculiar she was.
Are Canadians
peculiar is code for I like you. Apparently.
I don't know. I don't think I chopped.
No. Val also wants to know, or wants to hear what our thoughts are going to be on the Spike Willow scene, and from the comments that she's read over the years, in the Buffy community, there's a real divide of love and hate, and I think we'll get into that. Forgot this has the slow-mo fight, by the way, shut up, Forrest. Robin is, okay, I'm going to read this from Robin Burge, who says, are the potential sad they don't have as good of a theme song as Redemption Cast? Is Potential Cast jealous of Redemption Cast? I'd like to start a turf war. I then go on to threaten Robin with physical violence. He quotes the movie Warriors, which makes me love him even more. BJ Anderson says best fight scene ever. Carol discusses about how they actually managed to make this kind of pseudo-rape scene turn into something funny, which is quite interesting. And Christopher Dunning says, it's a fun episode with some big reveals, great scenes, as others have said. I'm not fond of Riley. He's too Dudley Do-Right for me. Is that a jab at Canadians? Because Dudley Do-Right is Canadian.
Another one?
No, it's just that he's...
It just means he's awesome.
He's milk toast.
Yes, he's milk toast.
He's a little bit Captain Canuck.
Yes, he's vanilla ice cream.
Captain Canuck is
low-fat vanilla ice cream.
I see no what taste. They were going for. Yeah. They were going for the exact opposite of Angel.
Hmm. I see.
I was thinking more the exact opposite of Parker.
Yeah.
Because he's very much like Angel fighting demons.
But he's a good old boy.
I don't know if he's on the good side or the bad side yet. Hmm. I'm still on the fence for that. They might be doing a psych out where we think that, oh, they're collecting these demons because they want to study them and kill them. But no, they're probably... Maybe he doesn't know that. Maybe he's just told that he needs to capture these things. He doesn't know that he's capturing them for evil. I don't know.
How do you feel about Riley so far?
I'm indifferent to him. I think he's... like he's just there right now. Like I can't really describe it. I like the fact that he is this agent, and yeah, that's about it.
I'm turning into someone, I believe, who watches Buffy the Vampire Slayer and ignores all the Buffy storylines. I think I'm much more interested in the ancillaries. Like Willow and Xander and Spike and Giles. And I couldn't care less about Riley because I'm assuming he's going to be her boyfriend. And I guess that's fine. It doesn't affect me because I'm not a Buffy fan.
I watch the show the exact same way. I do not watch this show for Buffy at all, which is why I like Angel better. But I still love Buffy, the show, not the character.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, right quick, Kim has an album on her Facebook page, Babies I Actually Like.
What?
Yeah.
Are any of my kids' pictures in there? Or do you have to meet them in person?
No, because I've never met your kids. Mm-hmm. Yes. There has to be a picture, I think, of me holding the baby.
Oh.
In it.
All right.
I'm never sorry, mind. I just thought that was hilarious.
Awesome. So, let's get into some points of revelation.
Okay. All right, so Riley is not impressed with Buffy. He just thinks, I don't know. What is up with that?
Because he doesn't know that he's in love with her.
You're She's so peculiar. In love with her, dude. We've known that you
How
like
do you
her.
Know? We all know, dude.
We all know. Everybody knows. You want me a Coke?
But don't those three guys feel weird being like college guys pretending?
Maybe they're
because
actually
all
students.
Girls are, I don't they're not students. They're
they're mercenaries, man.
But they could be students really, at the same time.
Yeah, they're students.
I don't think so. It's all a cover.
If they're FBI agents or whatever agents they are, they're not students.
What was it? Roman Brady was a part of the NSA.
They've got to be like pushing 30.
They might be agents, but they still got to get their homework done.
So lame.
They got to party. They got to plan parties and rate girls as they walk by. Yeah. That's sticking to the initiative.
Yep. In pretty much. When do they find time to work out their abs? With all that homework.
When they're fighting demons.
You don't get that much demons. Of an ab workout from fighting demons, let me tell you.
They get up early.
Yes, they must.
So Illyria, what do you think? Do you think that they're capturing them to study them, or capturing them to turn them evil? Not turn them evil, turn them so that they can use them for the sake of their...
Yes.
Own good.
I think the initiative is about taking these evil creatures and turning them into the next generation of soldier.
That will be fighting on the technically good side, right?
Well, relative to, you know, their position, but, you know, let's not get into that debate. But yeah, I think that's what it is.
All right, well, neither Giles or Xander are able to help Buffy because they know that these commandos are human. Buffy's going to a party. Willow needs cheering up. There go party. Yep. And Buffy needs to go change into something slutty.
Yes.
Because that's what you wear to parties.
Apparently. I always wear something slutty to parties.
Obviously, it's a college party. Mm-hmm. Come on.
There's no bra watch in this episode. It was lack of bra watch.
Yes. Anti-bra watch. The dancing at this party was lame. I thought
I
it was a really...
TV shows and movies.
Yeah. I thought it was really awesome that they played a Dingoes Ate My Baby song.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally was crushing Willow's spirit and her heart and soul, and Riley all of a sudden, you know, has someone change the music, and that was really cool. And I have to agree with whoever said that Riley and Willow, I think, would be watchable for mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
Which points out to me that I don't actually have a problem with Riley. I think I have a severe issue with Buffy. Our common adoration of cheese, you know, set aside, I think I have an issue with Buffy. I think I've had an issue with Buffy for a while. Although, when mm-hmm. she stood up to to Professor Walsh for Willow, I was like, where have you been? Where have you been?
Mm.
You don't stick up for yourself. You're a total weeny whiny wimp. And now you stick up for Willow. I want more of this Buffy. I want Buffy to grab the world by the balls and tell the world that they can't treat her a certain way. And that's exactly what I want to see from Buffy. That attitude. That feistiness, that spunk.
I think the key is you have to threaten her friends. If you threaten Buffy, if you threaten Buffy herself, she'll just cry about it. Threaten Willow, she'll get mad.
I guess.
So true. So true. But even at the beginning of the season, remember when we were first introduced to Riley?
Yeah.
He didn't even know Buffy's name, but he was really, it seemed like he was into Willow.
Okay, when Buffy stood up to Professor Walsh for how she talked to Willow, after she walked off, Professor Walsh said to Buffy, I like her. And to like Riley, a light bulb went off, and Riley decided that he was madly in love with Buffy because he had Professor Walsh's permission.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Here's a take. Weird. What if Riley is actually under Professor Walsh's mind control powers?
Like he has the chip in him as well?
Not a chip. He's just kind of dumb and highly susceptible to the power of suggestion. What if she's got all these guys hypnotized? What if she found them off at like a Chippendales convention and convinced them to become like mercenaries?
I think you're onto something.
That's a good
thing. With the Chippendales thing.
Yeah, the Chippendales. Yeah, like she found them auditioning for the Thunder from Down Under. And, you know, they didn't
Your
make
favorite
it.
Show?
My favorite show in Vegas. I've said too much. What I want to know is, where do you get the little collars with the bow ties without the shirt? I've been looking for those forever, and you can't find them anywhere. I think you have to order them online.
Party packagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Steph. Please.
Xander and Giles are going patrolling because Buffy's going to the party, right?
Yeah. I think that's a little, irresponsible of Buffy to send them out by themselves.
Well, yeah.
She wants a night off. She deserves one.
Well, what did they... I just don't understand what they're expecting to accomplish.
Mm.
Anyway.
And Xander's still calling back to his commando training there.
I think they also kind of want to feel useful.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, yeah. Sorry, because Matt, everybody's at school. Xander's the townie. Mm-hmm. Not going to school. And Giles has no job or anything. How's he paying his rent?
He's British. He's independently wealthy, just like Mr. Belvedere.
Okay. oh my gosh, that was adorable when Xander's mom called down and said she had fruit punch.
Is it raspberry?
That was the first time we've ever heard her do something nice for Xander. Because as far as everything we know and like the way he feels about his parents is that they're so mean and horrible
to him. Is Xander's mom's first name Vera?
I have no idea.
Okay. I'll just leave it there.
Do your joke.
No, there's no joke.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm waiting for the punchline.
There's no joke. If anyone got that, I love you very much.
Cheers.
Yay.
Okay. This is where Forrest and Graham and Riley are asking Parker about Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that she's a toilet seat. After you use a toilet seat, they don't follow you around. What's the difference between a... Anyway, and that's when Riley punches Parker.
Good.
That was really, really crass. I was shocked.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was.
It's like every time Parker's on the screen, he, out-douchebags himself.
Yes.
He's worse and worse and worse.
He's having a douche off with himself, yes.
Yeah. So Riley guess. Oh, okay. This is where Riley realizes that he likes Buffy because he punched Parker.
Yeah.
Spike pretends to be drugged and he escapes.
I want to know, did he pour the blood into his boot?
Yeah, where did it go?
Yeah, where did the blood go?
That's what I want to know.
S.O.D.
Yes.
In his pants.
Exactly.
And so Riley and Spike are both after Buffy at this point. Oh, they're going.
Steph, may I ask you a question, please?
Sure.
You work in the healthcare industry. You've been around hypodermic needles.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to actually approach someone with one and thrust it at them in a stabbing motion, wouldn't that just break the needle?
It depends.
Okay, thank you.
It depends on your clothes. Like, it depends on how thick your clothes are. It depends on the size of the gauge of the needle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you just stab somebody anywhere with, a tranquilizer and have it affect them?
No. And you know how Dexter, injects somebody in their neck and they automatically crumple to the floor? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I just watched an episode of Dexter where somebody got stabbed in the hand, and it still worked.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No, that only works with Windex.
Where are we at? Talks to Willow about... Oh, this is more where points. Riley goes and talks to Willow, and she becomes, she begins to become his accomplice.
What a weird choice of words.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I also thought it was so... Poor Willow, just sitting in bed, listening to sad music.
With her sneakers on. Who sits on their bed with their sneakers on?
I do, every once in a while.
Well, she...
When I'm really depressed.
Get comfortable in your own space, man.
But what if you're just, disheveled and just horribly, horribly, horribly heartbroken? Fuck the shoes! I'm upset!
I don't care if I get... Dirt in the bed.
Boots in wintertime, I could understand, because you don't want the little, salt and gravel all over your house.
It was kind of cute when Willow was hiding the weapons from Riley.
Yeah, and Riley helps her out.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
What does Buffy like? Willow's
if
heartache
he's an
is
FBI a agent. Wouldn't he be more observant, like trying to scope things out?
There are issues with this episode. There's so much awesome, but there are also so many issues. And the issues come from Riley. Everything else,
not Buffy.
It's like totally copacetic. No, I don't know. But when Riley is all Buffied, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Spike comes back to his lair and sees Harmony putting up a unicorn poster. That was amazing.
That was adorable. Spike sweet talks her.
Mm-hmm.
He's really only there to get the weapons to kill the Slayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the party happens. All of a sudden, I clue into, oh, they're the agents.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they go through this closet thing. And then it has a weird kind of eye scan and then purple a vocal scan. And then it's the world's longest elevator shaft.
For the one girl.
Yeah. And then we see Professor Walsh.
I will say that was a pretty cool reveal.
It was a pretty
very cool.
Yeah, even though as it was happening, like, I wasn't super shocked that she was in charge of them, but at the same time, it was a really good reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't run operating rooms the same way they're running theirs, do they, Steph? Like, you're not going to have three or four operations happening simultaneously in the same space?
In a swimming pool.
In a swimming pool. Okay, good. Oh.
Harmony's outside burning Spike stuff.
His Sex Pistols albums.
Yeah, and that's when Xander confronts her, and they have their slow mo girl fight.
Illyrio fight.
Okay, slow mo Illyrio fight.
Which is kind of redundant because I only fight in slow mo.
But what's funny is, just like a few scenes before, Xander had bragged about being really good with hand-to-hand combat.
I know.
Yeah.
That was funny.
And we don't see Giles again after that moment where he pushes off Xander, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, and so when Xander finds out from Harmony that Spike is back, he disappears. Like, she turns around and Xander's gone. Yep. Takes off to the Lowell house to tell Buffy all about it.
Oh, and Riley thinks that he is her boyfriend.
Yeah, that she left with another guy.
They left holding hands.
Yeah, that was weird. They don't usually do that.
And this is when the Dingo song came out, and Willow gets so upset that she leaves. And
If nobody minds, if we can move ahead a little bit. The entire exchange between Buffy and Riley on the park bench.
Yes.
I went and got popcorn. I could still hear what was going on from the kitchen.
It's just very awkward.
But I lost interest.
Yeah.
I really did.
It was kind of cliche because we know that they're both what they're both are doing, but they don't know what they're doing. Like, what the other person is doing, I should say. And it's just like, it was such a cliched scene.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And, I went to go get popcorn.
Oh, Spike goes in the computer system.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Where Buffy lives, that she lives in Stevenson.
That was hilarious.
Oh.
I mean, really. Both Spike and Angel know how to use computers. where does someone who's 183, he said, or someone who's 458, where do they find time to learn computing?
Lots of downtime.
Night courses. Thank you, Matt. Best joke so far.
But like, okay, so how come Riley doesn't put two and two together when he's doing that thermal scan and he's like, doesn't he clue on, oh, that's Willow's room or oh, that's Buffy's room?
Well, it's hard to tell the inside from the outside.
But when he got inside.
I guess he was just so you know, in his masculine testosterone-induced rage that he lost all perception of what or where he was.
Sure. I don't think so. No. He's really bad. A really bad agent. Good at what he does.
Yeah. When Buffy and Riley both heard that scream, were we supposed to believe that that was Willow's scream, even though we saw her scream afterwards?
It was non-linear. It was out of time.
Yeah.
That was the same scream.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Cool. I like when shows do that, where they'll kind of take us back a little bit and show us what was happening.
When it expects you to have a brain.
Yes, when shows expect you to have a brain, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and Willow's in the bed again, depressed, and knock, 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 come in. She invites him in.
She was not thinking.
Loved that.
Mm-hmm. Because James Marsters can be menacing and funny.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would think that would be very difficult to pull off. Because I was terrified for Willow.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
When he turns the music up, that's... Oh.
And then it gives shots of the hallway and people going about their business, so you realize nobody is going to come in.
Hear her stroke her.
Yeah.
There's nobody around that's about to burst in and save her.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing Buffy always left that window open.
Of course.
Spike can't do it.
Blow blames herself.
This scene could only happen on this show or something written by Joss Whedon.
Yes, agreed.
Fair to her. But when she said, "Is it me?" I was like, "Oh, Willow." I was like, that's what I said out loud. I was watching. Oh,
it's Willow. Like Buffy's. Did I do something wrong?
Yes.
Yeah. But they make each other feel better. Spike makes Willow feel better. Willow makes Spike feel better.
And then she shows him how to love lamp.
That was great when she had that. Just her facial reaction when she realized, what the hell am I doing?
Clonk.
It did, though. It took her for like 5 minutes to realize that. It was a ridiculous amount of time.
Again, she's not herself, Matt. She's all, you know, forlorn and then just, you know.
Priceless.
I can't read my handwriting. Want a half... Oh, wait a half hour. Try again.
Mm-hmm. That's because you're a medical professional, right?
Yeah. Really, because I'm just lazy and I don't care to make proper letters. Willow escapes. Oh, okay. So if I could interject,
I need a moment to put my little windscreen back here in front of my microphone, because, folks,
are you popping your pigs?
Well, I was playing with the windscreen and it popped off and hit me in the teeth. And I think I'm going to keep it on the show, because, man, that hurt like a son of a bitch. I am madder than fish grease. All right. Don't touch that. Sorry. Go ahead.
So do Riley and Graham and Forrest, do they take the lights out?
Yeah, that was like a whole automated system. The whole campus is rigged. To lock down.
Because
remember, kids, like, students couldn't open their dorm rooms. They, like, we saw doorknobs being attempted and people couldn't open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like this whole lockdown thing. It's pretty freaky, pretty impressive.
The initiative did this.
Yes, the initiative.
Ooh. Okay. So, they tried to contain Willow. They were going to take Willow. What were they going to do? Wipe her mind?
No, because of quarantine. Maybe she was turned.
Yeah, somebody said she was... I don't get how they could think that, you know, within the 2 minutes that he was in there, or that it took them to get over there, how could she be turned and still be alive?
I don't know. She could have vampire... No, I don't know.
They must not get exactly how it works, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. Mm. Yeah, they still... Yeah, they still seem to be pretty new at this, I guess. Mm-hmm. So the fire extinguisher, it's hazy and dark. And
and I'm taken back. As soon as the lights went off, I went back, "Oh, season one." It's season one cinematography.
Where you can't see a thing.
Yes.
That's when Stuffy showed up. But I really like that Spike, he has his move where he like dives out of windows. He did it three times this episode. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, the diving under the automatic closing doors in the initiative's bunker. Uh-huh. Now
he dives out the window.
He didn't bore us with the story of his escape, unfortunately, with the details of his escape. But if the initiative bunker is far deep underground, how did he manage to get out without being noticed?
Anyway, we'll find out later.
Ooh, I'm happy you said that because it's bothering me.
Yeah, there's
and I like seeing those kinds of details.
Yes. When the professor was debriefing them, they said that
it was Let's a big not guy. Tell anyone that it was a girl.
Yeah.
Because that will turn us into big sissy men. And the rest of the testosterone heads will make fun of us.
If he just waited 30 seconds longer, he would have seen it was Buffy.
Oh, I think he recognized her.
You think so?
I don't think so.
No?
Wouldn't he have said something?
So why did he say abort? Why'd he run out of there?
He's getting his ass kicked.
I think he said abort because he realized it was a girl or something. I don't think he knew it was Buffy per se.
The general Buffy shape.
Well, in the
whose doorbell is that?
Not mine.
That's weird. It's not mine.
It was mine.
Aha.
Oh.
Sorry, go
and
ahead.
So, but the conversation when they meet up the next day on campus, it's very awkward again. So when they apologize to each other, maybe he does recognize
her. I think he saw her shape, her general Buffy shape, because it started. It was a very clear kind of scene where he kind of defogs a little bit, and then all of a sudden there's like this moment of recognition. I think he recognized that it was Buffy.
You think so?
I don't think he told Forrest and Bubba, but I'm pretty darn sure that we're in a situation where he knows that she was kicking his ass. And good for him. He goes back to hang out with her. He's not intimidated by that.
I don't think he knows it's her.
Well, I'm hoping he does.
I think he may have a suspicion, but he wants to have it
confirmed
yeah. Maybe.
Maybe so.
Wow. Well, I love this episode.
I do too. I think it was hilarious.
It was really good.
I like how, like, when Spike, when he's imprisoned and he's like, oh, the Slayer, she finally got funding. She's brilliant or she's genius or something like that. And then the next scene, she's like, can't operate her pen.
Yeah. Oh, I almost used the quote. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you guys think that scene was a little bit over the top? How she's just ruining everything she touches?
No, because I know people like that.
But she's never done that before. Like, she just does it this one time.
And she's never messed up a Froger machine either, but she did.
Well, like the emailer said, this was just how she appeared to Riley, maybe.
True. Maybe.
I'm ready to rate.
Sure.
Matt, you want to go first?
Okay. I'll give it 9 out of 10 flaccid vampire bites.
Ooh. Very nice. See, Spike should have quit smoking a long time ago.
Yes.
I'm going to give it 9.5 percolators out of... wrong podcast. 9.5 secret underground layers.
Ah.
Out of 10. Well, you can use my percolators one.
Sure. I really like this episode, too. Not as much as Gabby, unfortunately. I really enjoyed it, but she seems to be so much more enthusiastic than we are about it. I thought it was fantastic. I will give it 9 out of 10. I was going to say hatches, but I have to say, let's see, 9 out of 10 awkward something or others. Oh, no, come back to me. I'll think of something funny later.
Steph?
Okay. I give it 10 out of 10 harmless, implanted, escaped, hostile 17s.
Wow.
Nice. Oh, I give it 9 out of 10 bitch fights.
Nice.
Illyrio fights.
But it's fine.
Illyrio fights.
Trying to start a new meme. That's what we thought of the episode. You should tell us what you think of the episode. I mean, lots of you did, and we were very happy to hear about it. But you should tell us what you think about maybe the next episode we're going to do. Or the one after that. Or the one after that. You can call us, 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at...
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
Remember, if you're sending us a feedback about an episode that we have not yet covered, please, 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 please put spoiler warning or do not read until you have seen, and then the episode name. That would really help us avoid spoilers, and we really appreciate that. You can visit us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/groups/potentialcast. You can join the group. Keep it spoiler free. Just ask to join. We'll be happy to let you join. We have, I think we're up to 270-odd members.
All right.
Awesome. And how many members do you have in your group, Matt?
Let's see.
That's so brutal, Ariel.
Well, I mentioned this. I mentioned this because someone who's a co-host of Matt's, who's been on our show a few times, Brad Couples, critically acclaimed, award-winning playwright Brad Couples, went on the offensive, my friends.
He did.
And on Matt's Twin Peaks podcast Facebook group, actually declared war upon us and asked people to help their group be larger in number than ours.
I think he actually tagged you guys as a hashtag LazyCast.
Yes.
Why are we LazyCast?
Because we're not trying hard enough to get new members into the group. Right. So your group has 256 and our group has more.
Yes, but how many Twitter followers?
I don't know.
But we don't really use the potential cast thing to chat about Buffy, right? That's only when we say that there's an episode coming up.
Yeah.
Right?
I suppose.
You win this round.
Right?
You win this round. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. And I think you can go to potentialcast.com. That's where we release show notes. Hey. Where you can manually download the episode with a click. If you're not subscribed in iTunes, subscribe in iTunes, write us a review. And I'm going to say this, we have a Cafe Press. And if you want a t-shirt like I'm wearing right now, you can have one for a modest fee. I think it may be quote time.
Well, before we do that, can I ask Illyrio and Zimberly a question?
Yes.
No.
I know you haven't seen much of Angel yet, but can mm-hmm. you tell if you're going to like it better than Buffy yet?
I'm hoping that, I'll be honest, if Doyle dies, I might start liking the show more. Because I'm annoyed, and frankly, I'm enjoying what it can be, and I'm hoping it gets to what it can be. Because there were shades of what this show can be earlier, where in episodes I liked more than the ones that we recently covered, and I'm really hoping it goes there. I really, really hope it goes there. I want it to be really dark. I want this show to be much darker than it is. I think it has a potential to be a really, really great dark drama, and it's not there yet. I think it's still kind of putting its toe in the water.
Still a bit monster of the week.
It is.
Yeah.
It is still that.
Yeah. Well, I think I give it a little bit more leeway than I should because I really like David Boreanaz. Mm-hmm. And I like him more on Angel than I did in Buffy.
Agreed.
And even I think because we're watching Buffy and we kind of let Buffy get away with a lot of really, you know, SOD stuff that I've been super generous while watching Angel so far. Even though the latest episode of Angel that we watched was the one with the, oh God, what was it? The anger management thingy. Sense and Sensitivity. Like, that episode, if I had not watched Buffy, or even, I would be like, what the hell is this garbage, right? But I enjoyed it. I laughed at it because I knew the history, like, some backstory about it. And I'm hoping that I will like it as much as I like Buffy right now. Because I'm really enjoying Buffy. Like, I don't hate it, and I'm actually shocked at how much I enjoy watching it and look forward to each episode. I don't have any expectations of which one I'll like more, but I'm just hoping that I, f- for now, I will enjoy it long term.
Mm-hmm.
I predict in the end that Illyrio and Kimberly will fall on Team Angel, and Steph and Gabby will be on Team Buffy.
Uh-huh. I have that same thought too.
Yeah,
that it would be split down the middle.
Mm.
Hmm.
We'll yeah, see. I was watching one of the angels that was on the other morning was I don't even know what season it was, but there was a lot of wire working. You could tell they were working with, do you know, is that yeah. what it is?
Yeah, that
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, the fights were spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Nice. A little bit of a Spider-Man turn off the dark action?
I have no idea. I can't even wrap my head around Spider-Man turn off the dark. I don't even know. I can't even imagine.
Neither could they for years.
Just imagine blood and guts on the stage.
Aww. Not rehearsed.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go first because I only have one quote and barely a backup.
Okay.
My quote is, "Aw, Italian." Oh, Harmony, you're awesome.
She likes cheese.
Nice delivery, Kim.
Thank you.
I totally believed you were like a Wicca lesbian.
I don't know if that's offensive or what.
Only to Wicca lesbians.
I am so gonna bite you.
Ooh, I like that. That girl's so hot, she's Buffy.
Oh, yeah. God. That was awesome. So disgusting. But so awesome all at once. Gabby? Oh, that's right.
Oh. She didn't send in her quote.
You better come back, Gabby.
She'll be back next week, I predict.
Yes. I think Gabby listened to one too many episodes of Ramjack and decided to explore the Amazon the way Kermit Roosevelt did.
Yes.
What's our homework for next time?
Next time it's Thanksgiving.
That was in October.
Pangs. Oh, Pangs. I love that one.
Pangs?
Yeah. Pangs.
Pangs.
I remember when we started season 4... and we would check the email bin. The first email I think we got was from Pangs. And I was like, this episode better be good.
That episode is comedy gold.
Really?
It is hilarious, yeah.
Very good. Matt.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I was hoping, I'd be able to worm my way in somehow.
Oh, you wormed your way in, all right.
By the time I requested a guest host spot, it was too late.
Yes. Well, you know, things change. Yeah. Time passes.
We lose people's email addresses.
That may happen. That may have happened. However, if you were supposed to be originally scheduled as a guest on this episode, feel free to write us at potentialcast@gmail.com.
And we'll make see it what, up to you somehow.
We'll make it up to you somehow.
But shame on them for not keeping tabs of what episode we were doing. So, no.
Matt, tell everyone listening to us right now where else they can listen to you.
They can listen to me on the Carney Cast, which is a podcast about HBO's show Carnival. On that one, I'm one of the newbies. And they can also catch me on Twin Peaks Podcast, which is where I am one of the people who have seen the show. And Twin Peaks is a show that everyone should watch. It's a cult classic TV. It's required watching if you call yourself a TV fan. It's on Netflix, so no excuses.
In both the U.S. and Canada.
Yep. Mm. And is it still your favorite show, Illyrio?
Still my favorite show ever of all time.
And Illyrio is never wrong, so...
Damn right.
And recently we got to interview the guy one of the guys who created the show that we're podcasting about, Mark Frost.
That was such an awesome interview. I was squeeing the whole time. Oh my God, they're actually talking to Mark Frost. He's actually answering their questions. I thought it was really great that you guys on your Facebook group asked people what questions they want to ask Mark Frost.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
That gave us a lot.
If we ever get Joss Whedon on this show, we are not doing that. We are not doing
Josh
that.
Josh Eden?
Yes, the world famous chef.
We probably could get him.
We probably could.
Have you guys ever tried or thought about trying to get like maybe Marty Knox in or any other writers? Or
I've thought about. I would love to get David Fury on.
Oh yeah,
I want David Fury on so I can just tell him how awesome his name is. So, when your parents named you, did they name you Fury? Or was that already their last name?
No, his name is David. Oh, what is it?
Don't break my heart. Don't you dare. Don't tell me it's the stage name.
David Mortensen.
No, it's something. Yeah, Fury is like, it's a stage name.
I'm dejected.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I feel right now like if a vampire came to bite me, I would try to make him feel better if he couldn't bite me instead of running away. That's how dejected. Oh, I thought that was his real name. Mm-mm. That sucks.
Secrets.
Oh, well. Anybody want any other quotes to,
I'm only 126.
Oh, poor Spike. Felt really bad for him. Mm. Oh, one last thing. I was really hoping. I mean, I figured it was going to be Walsh who was going to be the big reveal in the bunker, but I was really hoping we'd see Drew.
Mm.
That would have been so flipping the script.
Oh. Yeah, Miss Drew.
I miss Drew.
I think I asked on the spoiler group if Juliet Landau was invited back because James Marsters was, and I swear I can't remember what they said, but I think they said she was busy.
Yeah, not being awesome. All right, well,
there was one.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I know we're wrapping up, but there was one thing that I remember that stuck out when Willow and Riley were sitting at the party, and it was kind of around when the Dingo song came on, and they were both talking to each other, and they said something, and she... Anyways, whatever happened, the conversation, and they both kind of went big, bad. And I was like, oh, is this foreshadowing that something with Riley, that he's going to be the season's big bad?
Hmm. Interesting.
Certainly make it more interesting.
Do you remember that?
I don't actually remember that. I'm going to have to rewatch. Again.
I think maybe it's just... Yeah. It's just the lingo, just the style of the...
I guess so.
...dialogue.
Because because you guys always refer to the big bad, even Spike said it in when he got clobbered over the head, the big, big bad's
back,
and then...
He got tasered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did that start in Buffy? Because everybody says that now for like all the seasons of every other series.
Yes, it's a Buffy thing.
Yeah, because, you know, every time Dexter has a new season, it's like, who's the new big bad on Dexter? And
that's fun. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Mm-hmm. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Don't tell your pets. I don't think pets should be listening to podcasts.
Tell your enemies.
Yes, and tell your frenemies.
Frenemies.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
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 Namaste.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Don't trip with fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with excellent. I give her all my love, that's all I do. And if you saw my love, you'd love her too. I love her. She gives me everything, and tenderly.
The kiss my lover brings, she brings to me, and I love her. A love like ours could never die, as long as I have you near me. Bright are the stars that shine, dark is the sky. I know this love of mine will never die, and I love her. Bright are the stars that shine, dark is the sky. I know this love of mine will never die, and I love her.
Plenty okay, now, of lame jokes.
Listen to this. Is this too much? That's too strong. This what? Is better, right?
It's a little low.
This is low?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's better?
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm ready whenever anyone else is.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, are you going to play the music?
I usually do it after you say you're listening to Potential Cast, or oh, you're listening to season. You're listening to Potential Cast, season 4, episode 7. I believe it's episode 7, right?
You're gonna mess me up.
How many times have you done this?
Almost 100 times now.
Four.
Whoa! Words.
I know we're very close to our 100th show.
We're about in the middle.